The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The fire of your coming, the glory of your presence, will shake the earth and every heart will know. You are Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lion of Judah, the God of Israel.
Shalom and welcome to Heart of Messiah radio broadcast. My name is Steve Weiler and I'm the lead rabbi of Sheresh David Messianic Synagogues. Currently we're serving in Wesley Chapel, St. Pete, South Bay near Riverview and Tampa. We welcome all visitors as we desire to see those who are Jewish and not Jewish worshiping together in unity. We're honored to serve the listening audience of AM 570 WTBN and 910 WTWD, Tampa Bay's Faith Talk.
Shalom. What a blessing it is to be involved in God's appointed times. The season of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, and Shemini Atzeret. Shemini Atzeret is the eighth day. So last week we looked at Sukkot. Today we're going to review the holy days. And so I'm excited. Please stay with us as we talk about not only a summary, but what this can mean to your daily devotional time. Let's pray first. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, we love you and praise you and honor you and worship you, Lord. Oh, this is a glorious season, Father. And while the world is in disarray, Lord, you have all things in control. So, Father, I pray that I and we can trust in you and just be led by you, be directed by you, and enjoy the fruits of laboring in your vineyard. We bless you in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Okay. Well, I'd like to invite you to Monday evening, the 27th. Yeah. At 7 p.m., we have our special ending of the Holy Days, Shemini Atzeret, which is the eighth day. You find it in Leviticus 23. And that celebration will begin at 7 p.m. Shemini Atzeret means actually the eighth day. And it's coupled with a traditional holiday in Judaism called Simchat Torah. This is rejoicing with the Torah. And this means the joy of the Torah or the joy of instruction. Right? So this is a service of rejoicing in the Lord and thanking him for his word. We're going to roll back the Torah from the end of Deuteronomy to the beginning of Genesis, read from it. We're going to have a great time. So please consider coming. We would love to have visitors. And if you know a Jewish person who does not know Yeshua, bring them along. Yeah. Okay. And this is a wonderful time for our rabbis to come visit churches and talk about what we've experienced these past 6 weeks, about the holy days, or what I like to call the appointed times, because that's what it says in Scripture. This is where God makes an appointment with us and we show up, right? Okay, so give Karen a call at 813-787-6002. If we can come to your church, we would love to speak. And come visit us, as I mentioned. We'd love to have you come. You can look at our website, ShereshDavid.org, and it gives you times and places as to where we will be. So it would be wonderful. You know, last week I spoke about the wonderful water ceremony of how Yeshua spoke on the eighth day and invited people who were thirsty to come to him, where there would no longer be thirst because we would have that living water. So that really is all about the eighth day. But I'd like to do something a little different today in terms of wrapping it all up. I want to look at the appointed times prophetically and to think about them expectantly. So first of all, Rosh Hashanah is the blast of the shofar. The Lord returns and redeems his people. Yom Kippur, the Jewish holy day, where the Jews have final time to accept Yeshua, and I believe the world will have that final time to accept Yeshua for atonement for their sins. And then Sukkot, where God gathers up his people to tabernacle with them. What a blessing. Now, these appointed times could represent our time with the Lord in our daily devotions. And you say, how? Well, I'm going to review that with you. As we look at each of the holy days, we can see the themes that we can appropriate to our personal time with the Lord. So here's a listing. And you'll notice that each of these themes begins with the letter R. Okay? So in Rosh Hashanah, we are asked to reflect as we get quiet before the Lord. And what a wonderful way to begin daily devotions. And then to recognize our sin, which is also from Rosh Hashanah. And this is key to getting closer to the Lord. And finally, repenting of our sins, which is Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and definitely brings us closer to the Lord. Then we, number four, is Yom Kippur. We our fourth theme is we're redeemed as our sins are forgiven. And in Yom Kippur, we are reconciled with God and with man. And also in Yom Kippur, we receive God's love and mercy because we feel clean. And then what happens after we feel clean and we receive God's love and mercy? It's Sukkot. We rejoice in the Lord. We remember the Lord. And we retell about the Lord's love. And what I like to say at the end of all that is we have certain results. We're renewed, we're refreshed, we're regenerated, we're restored, we're revived. Our faith becomes relevant. Are you praying for congregational revival? Are you praying for corporate revival? Are you praying for revival in your city, state, country? Let me just tell you that when you personally are revived, that's the beginning of corporate revival. Revival begins with us in our relationship with God as we pray, intercede, and place scripture into our mind and heart. God will do wonderful things. This is spiritual warfare. Be revived and help begin congregational revival. So I'd like to take each of those nine themes and talk a little bit about them. Number one, reflect. Quiet introspection. What a wonderful time that is with the Lord. In Psalm 4, verse 5, it says, "Tremble, but do not sin. Search your heart while on your bed and be silent." Oh, God gives us such great instructions from his word. And then in Psalm 119, verses 13 and 15, it says, "With my lips, I rehearse all the rulings of your mouth. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways." Psalm 19:15, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable before you, Adonai, my rock and my redeemer. And in Romans 8, 5 and 6, it says, those who live according to the Ruach, to the Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Ruach is life and shalom. God will speak to you through his scriptures as you focus on him, as you reflect on him and yourself. And so what a wonderful thing to do is to get to a place where you can reflect on the Lord and reflect on yourself. And then secondly, you need to recognize your sins. It requires humility to recognize our own sins. Now, humility causes us to be transparent. Humility depends on God, trusts him, puts others first, and allows us to recognize our sin. You know, because pride is all about ourselves. Humility is about others. And Proverbs 8:13 says, to fear Adonai is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and a perverse mouth. In Proverbs 13:10, it says, arrogance yields nothing but strife. Wisdom belongs to those who take advice. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So we come to 2 Chronicles, which you all know, 7:14, and it says, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves. So God is asking us to humble ourselves, to think of others, to think of him, and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, then we will hear from heaven, and God will, then God will hear from heaven, and God will forgive our sins, and God will heal our land. Talk about revival. God healing our land would, I can't think of a greater revival of people coming to know the Lord. That would be amazing. Transparency that depends on God, trusts him, puts others first, ask God to show us our sins. Listen to what people are saying to you about yourself and look at your actions and evaluate yourself. All of this is to help us recognize our sins. Number three is to repent of our sins. Now, repent is not just confessing. That just means saying you're sorry. Repentance requires your commitment to turn away from the sin and turn towards God. Psalm 7:13 says, if he does not relent or repent, he will sharpen his sword. He has bent his bow and made it ready. Yeah, take that in for a second. Then we see in Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, repent and let each of you be immersed in the name of Messiah Yeshua for the removal of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And Acts 3:19-20, repent therefore and return so your sins might be blotted out, so times of relief or refreshing might come from the presence of Adonai, and he might send Yeshua the Messiah appointed for you. And 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and purify us from all our unrighteousness. You see, it's really important to understand the fact that God in our devotional time wants us to reflect, get quiet before him, recognize our sins, and repent. And as I mentioned, those are all themes of Rosh Hashanah, but now we see the themes of Yom Kippur. We're redeemed as our sins are forgiven because we've asked God to forgive us. If we don't know our sins are forgiven, we will not have the desire to get close to God because we will not feel good enough. Isaiah 43:1 says this, "But now, thus says Adonai, the one who created you, O Jacob, the one who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." And in Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Messiah died for us. And in Luke 1:68, "Blessed be Adonai, God of Israel, for he has looked after his people and brought them redemption." We are redeemed. We are forgiven. The knowledge of that in our daily devotions is critical for us having confidence in the Lord, not confidence in us. We'll have plenty of confidence in us when we have confidence in the Lord, and it will be rightly placed at that point. So after we're redeemed, you know, we also see that we are reconciled with God and man, because in order to be redeemed, we have to make sure that our heart is right with the Messiah. So reconciliation is the very heart of Messiah. Reconciliation requires forgiveness. And we know how strongly God has asked us to forgive. Reconciliation is choosing to see people through God's eyes. And there's such a great verse about that. You know, it's really the only ministry that it says in Scripture that we have been given. Now, we've been given other ministries, but this one particularly says it's a ministry for us. It's 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 21. "Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Messiah and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Messiah, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has entrusted the message of reconciliation to us. We are therefore ambassadors for Messiah, as though God were making his appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Messiah, be reconciled to God. He made the one who knew no sin to become a sin offering on our behalf, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Is that a powerful group of verses? That's an amazing thing to understand, that God wants us to lead in reconciliation. He wants us to represent him in reconciliation. Wow. And so we, in our quiet time, we once again make sure that there's nobody that we have a difficulty with that doesn't need to be reconciled. And then the sixth theme, receive. And this is all from the appointed times. When we are reconciled, we're close to God, and we will receive God's love and mercy. That's so critical for us to walk with the Lord and to walk in righteousness with people, is to know that God loves us and he's merciful to us. And so we see it in Psalm 86:5, "For you, my Lord, are good and ready to forgive and full of mercy to all who call upon your name." And so today, as we call upon his name, we are forgiven. We receive that. It's not enough to know that he's done it. You have to receive it. Hebrews 4:16, "Therefore, let us draw near to the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace for help in time of need." Right? And 1 John 4:16, "So we've come to know and trust in the love that God has for us." God is love. "Now, whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." The scriptures are so clear as to how God is instructing us as believers to receive his love and his mercy. And then what do we do after we receive? Naturally, we rejoice. Number 7, rejoice in the Lord. When you're reconciled and close to God, you have no choice but to rejoice. That's why God says to rejoice always, because then we are focused on him. We're rejoicing in him. We're abiding in his presence where there's fullness of joy. And in Psalm 5:12, it says, but let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them always shout for joy. You will shelter them and they exalt those who love your name. God is filled with this. Psalm 16:11, you know this. You make known to me the path of life. Abundance of joys are in your presence. Eternal pleasures at your right hand. And Isaiah 61:10, I will greatly rejoice in Adonai. My soul will be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me in a robe of righteousness, like a bridegroom wearing a priestly turban, like a bride adorning herself with her jewels. And 1 Thessalonians, you all know, 5:16 through 18, rejoice always, pray constantly. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Messiah Yeshua. So it's important not only that you rejoice in your quiet time, but that you also give thanks. And then number 8, you need to remember the Lord. This concept is repeated so often in Hebrew scriptures. It is one of the keys to being filled with joy, because we are reminding ourselves of how great the Lord is and all that he's done. Isaiah 12:4 says, in that day, you will say, give thanks to Adonai, proclaim his name, declare his works to the people, so they remember his exalted name. And Deuteronomy 6:12, then watch yourselves so that you do not forget Adonai, who brought you from the land of Egypt, from the house of slavery. And 1 Corinthians 11:23 to 25, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Yeshua, on the night he was betrayed, took matzah, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after the supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in memory of me. And the final thing, number 9, retell about the Lord's love. Share your faith. Deuteronomy 6:4 through 7, Psalm 96:2 through 3. Sing to Adonai, bless his name, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all the peoples. Oh, and so the result, and obviously Matthew 28:18-20, the result is renewed, refreshed, regenerated, restored, revived, and our faith becomes so relevant. So if you do this in your quiet time, it will be amazing. And so Proverbs 3:7-8, do not be wise in your own eyes, fear Adonai, turn from evil. It'll be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Your quiet time should be a refreshment. 2 Corinthians 4:16, don't lose heart. Though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. And Joel 2:25-26 talks about restoration and not allowing the years that the locust has. Well, you know the scripture. I'm running out of time. Look, you will experience God's holy days, his appointed times, every day of your life when you have devotions that have a revival part to it. We have great zeal for the Lord. So let's close in prayer. I just remind you that Monday at 7 in the evening is our 8th day festival. Check our website, shereshdavi.org. Father, I pray for all those who are listening to this, that they will take this idea of devotional life and use this to get closer to you. I pray that they will grow in their desire to have a heart like the heart of Messiah. I pray this in the name of Yeshua. Amen. and amen.
You are Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lion of Judah, the God of Israel.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.